Esme Murphy with you until 9 o'clock. Well, this past week, the Methodist Church upheld a ban on same-sex marriage and on gay clergy. Pastor Paul Bowdwin is with the United Methodist Church. He is with the church in his church is in St. Louis Park, I believe, and he is joining us right now. Did I get that right? You are in St. Louis Park.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Pastor Bowdwin, thank you so much for coming on. This has obviously been a tough week at the Methodist Church, and it sounds as if a lot of people within the church are not happy about this decision, and there's even talk about some people actually splitting off from the church. What in your view, actually happened, and what are the consequences?
Well, how long?
I know that's a lot, but
essentially, you know, we've been in a 45-plus year struggle around inclusion of LGBTQ people, and we had a special session called of our governing body this last week in St. Louis, Missouri, to try to figure this out and find a way forward. There were essentially two plans that were really the kind of core things that would be talked about. One would allow for some both pastoral and congregational autonomy around this stuff, so that anybody who's pretty progressive on this could go ahead and do same-sex marriages. Conferences could ordain LGBTQ people to be pastors, and those who were opposed to that would be allowed to continue to not do those things.
Right.
There was another plan that was before this that actually strengthened the language that's in our governing book, our book of discipline, and that was the one that passed. And so it not only kept going with, I guess, what I would call the exclusive language in our book of discipline, but it strengthened it. There's lots of people, myself included, who we're really struggling this week with the direction of our denomination.
What are you hearing from your congregation? I mean, what are they telling you in St. Louis Park?
Yeah, we recently passed an inclusion statement around LGBTQ people and saying that we fully include people of all identities. We did that primarily because it was a conversation we hadn't had yet, and we knew that this was coming, and we wanted to get clarity for ourselves. And having that clarity, people in my church are pretty upset, wondering what the future means. But the bottom line is we are still going to be who we are, as are the other churches in our area who are fully inclusive of LGBTQ people. We will just continue to be who we are. And there are numerous churches, particularly in the Twin Cities, United Methodist churches that are fully inclusive of LGBTQ people. Eden Prairie United Methodist is one of them. Hennepin, there's all kinds of churches where we will continue to live this out
right.
Regardless.
Pastor Paul Bowdwin of the United Methodist Church in St. Louis Park, or the Aldersgate United Methodist Church in St. Louis Park, if a gay couple came to you this evening and said, you know, Pastor, we'd like to get married, which of course is legal here in Minnesota, what would you say?
I would say, let's talk. Let's start meeting together to talk about your relationship and your life, and let's start making the plans.
So, which is basically a yes. I mean, that doesn't sound like if there was a, you know, a heterosexual couple that came to you and tonight and said, Pastor, we want to get married. Would you say the same thing to them?
Yes.
Okay.
I would treat it exactly the same way.
Doesn't that mean, Pastor, that you would be in out of line with the official doctrine of the United Methodist Church?
Yes, indeed, it does. Part of our inclusion statement in our church, part of it actually says that the church endorses me doing such things. It also says that it endorses same-sex marriages happening in our building. And it also calls out the language that's already in our governing document.
This is your local church in St. Louis Park.
This is my local church's inclusion statement. Says that we reject that exclusive language, And we believe that rejecting that language is a way that we fulfill our baptismal vows, one of which says that we will resist oppression in whatever forms it presents itself.
Okay. And Pastor, so, if I can ask you, was there a lot of dissent within your congregation? I mean, was it a close vote, or was it how do these things work?
We went through about a 9 month to 1 year process of congregational conversations and exploration around this, and we're one of the kind of late adopters to this official inclusion in our district. And last August, we passed this inclusion statement by a margin of 96%.
Well, that's pretty decisive,
yes,
to say the least. So what, I mean, let's say that you did perform a marriage of a gay couple, which again is completely within the law in Minnesota, and clearly you feel it's within God's law.
Yes.
What do you think would happen? I mean, will the hierarchy of the church come down and, you know, say, Pastor, you could no longer be a pastor in our church? I mean, what is the discipline?
That's a great question. One of the things I love about the United Methodist system is that there's a lot of power given to a lot of people, including the laity. Technically, is my understanding, and before you sort of passively referred to me as an expert, which is not at all what I am, but I want to be clear about that. But my understanding is that really anybody could file charges on me, and I could potentially go through a church trial and have my credentials revoked. The United Methodist Church in Minnesota has kind of, in some ways, already been operating on this other plan that didn't pass that allows for some autonomy. So I don't think that would happen, but it could. It very well could, because I would be in violation of our Book of Discipline.
Right. And it sounds like the organization of the church is sort of inherently decentralized, but it sounds like you have if the vote was 96% in favor of this, it sounds like your congregation is very much in lockstep with where you are and where they are as a group.
Yes. And I'm grateful for that. That didn't happen, you know, by some kind of unilateral move by me or anything. We really had some, I think, very authentic conversations around this stuff. And to be fair, our system is such that our bishop and the bishop's cabinet appoint pastors to churches, and they work really hard to find good fits. And they thought this one was a good fit, and we've seen over and over that it is a good fit. And this is one of the fruits of that. I think an appointment that worked out well.
All right. And obviously this will be the first Sunday since the vote. Will there be, I don't want to like leak your sermon or anything like that, but are you going to be addressing it tomorrow?
Yes, absolutely. I quite honestly, my personal opinion is that I think it'd be irresponsible not to address it.
Sure.
It's definitely not going to be the whole focus. One of the things I believe in terms of the local church right now, any local United Methodist church, is the power's in the local church, and every church needs to just continue to step into who they are and be who they are. I was listening in your 6 o'clock hour, there are homeless people that need to be sheltered, and the church has a responsibility in that. We have systems of power that we need to of oppressive power that we need to be working on dismantling. I mean, we have work to do as congregations, and so let's do it. Let's just continue to do our work. So we will address it, but part of addressing it will be, let's just continue to be who we know who we are.
Well, Pastor Paul Bodwin, thank you so much for your time, and I'm sure those who will be attending church tomorrow will be looking forward to your sermon.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.